This is Big Angry Phil, and this is podcast number 31. And this is going to be all about old school hip-hop. That's right, none of this bullshit that's out today. But the stuff that was on when I was a young lad. This is what we used to listen to, and this is what I continue to listen to. And I'm going to bring my homeboy in from New York City. This cat knows his shit about old school hip-hop. And he goes by the name of Andy B. What's up, man?
I'm chilling right now. I got Johnny Walker. I got some old greasy Chinese food waiting for me. I'm good.
Fucking eating them rat droppings. You know how dirty the Chinese restaurants are, right? Especially down where you
are. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, it was fast. It was quick. And yeah. I feel like going
especially,
to Buffalo Wild Wings today.
Wild Wings even worse. He saw the chicken head that fucking homeboy got in his
head. I usually go to one chicken spot.
Restaurants, they don't give you a chicken head unless you ask for one. I've been to a Chinese restaurant. They give you an entire chicken, and the goddamn head is still on it.
The fucking feathers are still on the wing.
Let's see what we came to do.
Let's talk some hip-hop, man.
Well, we all know that hip-hop today absolutely, completely sucks, right? It's fucking unlistenable.
Absolutely.
It's gay as shit. And every old-school rapper is getting on and saying it's gay as shit. And then what happens? All the new schoolers get on there saying, ah, man, you an old motherfucker. You don't know what you're talking about. No respect at all for the old heads, and that really drives me up the fucking wall.
Yeah, there's no respect for the old, for the pioneers of hip-hop, which sucks, and the sad part is, hip hop is the only like music genre that suffers from this. The rock and roll cats, they go, you know, some of the new school guys.
Right.
They pay respect to the new guys who paved the way, and especially in Latin music. In Latin music, the new school cats would be honored to do music with the old timers, because that's what they grew up on. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, do it in the jazz, in the jazz, you know, genre also.
Exactly.
It's like, yo, I grew up on your music. Please be on my song. That's like a blessing.
Yeah, and because the problem with hip-hop now is everybody is so fucking arrogant. You know, they think they're the best. They think they're the fucking best in the world. And nobody's around to tell them, say, yo, man, you listening to the same shit I'm listening to? It's fucking awful.
Like, every rapper nowadays sounds exactly the same. I don't know who's who, and I don't care. They all sound the same.
Exactly. Back in the day, you knew who was who. You could tell MCs from other MCs, you could tell producers, you could tell their beat style, you know, you could tell DJs apart, but nowadays, I don't know who did the beats, I don't know who the fuck is on the microphone, and it's all auto-tuned anyway, so it doesn't even fucking matter. It's ridiculous. It's all just automatic, fucking robotic, mindless bullshit, and that's what they're hitting kids with now, and you wonder why each generation gets dumber and dumber and dumber. Listen to the music they listen to. It's awful. It doesn't even matter what genre it is. You know, all these kids that are still stuck listening to the radio are really missing out.
Yeah, you know, just like Tom Leica says in his shows, that radio is dead. It's dead, and it's dying. It's the same exact song. Like now on in here in New York, we have, before it was just Hot 97. It was one of the only hip hop stations that we had. Then we set the Power 105. Now you got some other garbage out on the airwaves, and they play the same songs in different orders. Like you could right now. What is it? It's 12:30 right now over here in the East Coast.
Right.
They could be playing that Panda song at about maybe 12:45. Power 105 would be playing that same exact song. Then the third 15 minutes later, the third radio station would be playing the same thing, and it's the same shit. I was watching a YouTube video with Professor Griff talking about. He mentioned that the hip hop nowadays is called bubblegum rap because it's so disposable. So he went out into the audience at the lecture he was doing. He was like, "Can you tell me the top hip hop song last year?" Nobody knew what it was.
No, I don't know what it is. And I just saw something on Facebook today from Sticky Fingers, you know, from Onyx, and he was kind of talking about the same thing. He's like, hip-hop today is gay. These cats is rapping about some bullshit. It all sounds the same. And he's saying all the old-school cats are saying the same thing, but one of the new-school cats come with, "Oh, man, y'all don't know what y'all talking about. Y'all can't understand because y'all old." That's a fucking answer they always give. They sound like women when they talk, too. That's the other thing. It's so feminized now.
Yeah, it's really gay-centric, I don't know if that's even a term, era now, because back in the day,
I know they were probably gay rappers. That's fine.
I don't care. but they kept it to themselves. It wasn't in their act.
They kept it to themselves.
But now you got these cats dressing like Young Thug, dressing like in whatever that purple dress he's wearing shit.
We spoke about it a couple podcasts ago when I called him to your show. About he was wearing that blue dress, and people think that shit is cool. I mean, yo, if you think that shit is cool, more power to you. But me as a true hip-hop head, man, I don't know, that's suspect. That's very, very suspect.
And that's a fucking thing, because back in the day, you know, unfortunately, showbiz itself is suspect. You know, most of it is gay, because show business has always been gay, but they didn't always put it in their act. Like, most actors, let's face it, are fucking gay. Most musicians, I don't know about musicians, but singers, you know, people in the limelight are fucking gay. And I'd say at least half of the rappers, if not 75% of them, are fucking gay. But they don't put it in their act. But now they act all fruity and shit, and it's so accepted, it's over-accepted. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, very over-accepted.
And then they give you shit if you say, oh, you can't say that's gay, that's homophobic. It's like, no, I'm not talking, I'm not making fun of gay people, I'm making fun of this motherfucker here, you know? Just like South Park was trying to say when they did the Harley episode, when they called all the loud Harley riders a bunch of fags, they were talking about gay people, and they had to explain this to the mayor and the townsfolk. They're not talking about gay people, they're talking about annoying fucking fags that race their motorcycles down the street. And this is the same shit that's going on with hip-hop. These guys are a bunch of fags. They look fruity as fuck, and they're singing about God knows what the fuck. I can't even understand what the fuck they're saying, because it's all in fucking auto-tune.
Oh, dude, it's mumble rap. I forgot. I read an article on Facebook about saying that, like the rappers now, it shouldn't even be called hip-hop.
No.
It should be called just mumble something, because it's really not. And the thing is, that boggles my mind. Here's the thing. I don't know one straight man that listens to Drake or any of these fucking
mumble rappers. No straight man should ever admit to listening to Drake. If you see any men at a Drake concert, either, number one, they're gay, or number two, they were dragged there by some broad, which pretty much makes them gay.
Yeah. I was with my friend today. And we were just talking about the topic of hip-hop came up. And I was telling him, listen, he's younger than me. He's 23. I'm 10 years older than him. I'm 32 now, but whatever. Right. And I was trying to put him on some good hip-hop. He said, asked me, what's a good album for me to download? And I told him, if you want to hear some good shit, like some good fucking hip-hop, start with Gangstar Daily Operation.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Perfect.
Start there. Okay, if you don't like that, if you like, you know, the beat a little more grittier, download The Sun Rises in the East by Jerry Wood Damager.
Yeah. Or even P Rock and CL Smooth, Becca and the Soul Brother.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Then I referred him to whatchamacallit, DJ Quick's first joint, first album.
Yeah, DJ Quick is the name, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, listen to that, you know, and then I told him, if you want even some, you know, some good gangster shit, but strictly hip-hop and lyrics from the West, listen to Ice Cube's Lethal Injection, which is one of my favorite albums for Ice Cube.
I would recommend Death Certificate. I think that's still Ice Cube's, by far, Ice Cube's best album.
Death Certificate is pretty fucking dope too, man.
Yeah.
But something about Lethal Injection...
He came hard as fuck on Death Certificate, not about race relations, but of course he had to get an NWA's ass, because that's when they broke up. But that album, I bump that fucking shit at least once a month.
Yo, did you see that that Magnum Opus thing that I put on Facebook about Ice Cube?
Yeah.
Today was a good day.
Yeah.
That was incredible when I watched it.
For sure.
And I remember seeing that video back in the day on Video Music Box. Because back in the day, I didn't have fucking cable, man. We were struggling back in the days. And hip-hop... for me, was the box, Video Music Box, with Uncle Ralph McDaniels and the Flavor Videos and B-Cat. B-Cat is a station out in Brooklyn, and it's only in Brooklyn. It's like public access, but they used to play fucking hip-hop videos. So that's where I discovered fucking La Finesse, DJ Quick, Snoop Dogg, the Wu-Tang was on rotation constantly. Fucking, what do you call it, the Rap Forte.
Right.
I fucking love that. And what do you call this guy? Drew Down.
Drew Down, yeah. They played
a lot of West Coast shit, man.
Right.
A that's why I dig a lot of the West Coast underground rappers. And Above the Law is like one of my favorite West Coast hip-hop crew.
Yes.
Uncle Sam's Curse? Shit, I love that album.
Back in the 80s, I'll tell you when I got into hip-hop. I wasn't really into it in the mid-80s when it started blowing up, when Run DMC was real hot and all that kind of shit, LL Cool J. I was never into that kind of shit. What really did it for me, the two albums that really got me into hip-hop and kept me in hip-hop were Straight Outta Compton, N.W.A., and then the D.O.C., No One Could Do It Better. Both produced by Dr. Dre, both of them sounding almost exactly the same. But those two albums, that was it for me. I stayed in and then just kept with it. And then I started getting Ice Cube. Then I got the next NWA album and then started getting into DJ Quick, Ice-T, all that shit. But it took me a while. I was into rock and roll and shit like that back then. I never got into the Run DMC. It took me, and even Public Enemy didn't even do it for me at first.
For Public Enemy, for me, it took a long time, believe it or not, for them to grow on me.
Yeah.
And lately I've been on my Public Enemy kick because I'm living in today, and I'm listening to like Rebel Without a Pause.
Right, the shit was way ahead of its time, way ahead of its time. It almost predicted what the fuck is going on now.
Oh, dude, like I have Fear of a Black Planet on vinyl. I had that shit on vinyl right behind me, son. You listen to that album, I'm like, wow. Chuck D spit some like Nostradamus type shit, because all the shit that he was talking about back then, it came to fruition now, which is scary.
Right.
That was crazy.
And Chuck D has come out about how bullshit today's hip hop is.
Definitely.
And of course, these young motherfuckers—they don't respect him. They don't even know who he is. They don't bother doing any research. As easy as research is to get now on the internet, they still don't fucking research anything. They say, these old motherfuckers—they don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. Little bitches.
I could safely say that you and I—we grew up in a time that there was no fucking internet and there was no smartphones.
Right.
These young cats now, they have the world in their hands through a fucking 5-inch screen.
Yep.
They can look up anything in the world, and they still act stupid. Dumber than sand. Dumber, just like George, the late George Carlin, favorite comedian, used to say, dumber than a second coat of paint.
Yep,
dumber than a second coat of paint.
He also said, if you look around and you realize how stupid people are, just know that half of them are even stupider than that.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that George Carlin ever did was the list of people that should get killed immediately.
Yes.
He was like the people that should get thrown screaming from a helicopter.
Yeah, white guys over the age of 10 who wear their baseball hats backwards. Yes, I.
or the people that put the fucking what do you call it? The fucking my kids are honorary students from like the Franklin School.
Yeah, the fucking bumper stickers. Yeah, goddamn, yes. Dude. Those and the fucking baby on board ones, and those are everywhere still. Those baby on board fucking signs. Heavy.
Oh, dude, that was so funny. Yo, all right, let me ask you this though.
Yeah.
I think we both have the same maybe. We could agree on this. Our favorite hip hop group.
Yep.
Mine is Gangstar.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that too. Gangstar for sure. I play them probably more than anybody nowadays, so I would have to.
Yeah, the reason I say Gangstar, like I love the Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang's dope. But one thing that Gangstar had that Wu-Tang didn't was, as a group, was consistency.
Right.
And
plus, there was only, most of the time, only one MC, whereas Wu-Tang, you know, he had like up to 10 fucking people on the mic. But at times, I didn't know who the fuck was who. With Gangstar, it was almost always Guru. Once in a while, fucking Big Shug or some other motherfuckers would be in there.
Right.
But, you know, 9 times out of 10, it would be just Guru, and you knew where he was coming from.
From No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yes.
Their first album. To the last album, what was it, the Owners?
The Owners, which was okay, not their best, but okay.
Which was okay, yeah. It was rushed, but
right.
Every album, even the Owners, that what it was still a decent album.
Yeah, no, it was, absolutely.
Like all of the Gangstar albums was really quality.
Yeah.
It was really quality. What difference from Wu-Tang was 36 Chambers, musical classic. Not even
yeah,
hip-hop.
No doubt about it.
Musical classic. I'll give him that. I had that on fucking tape, CD, and vinyl.
Right.
Okay. Wu-Tang Forever, which came out like 3 to 4 years later.
It was another one. It was another one of those double albums that didn't need to be a double album. It reminded me of the Bone Thugs and Harmony album, the double album that came out after
Art of War.
Right,
Art of War. I have that.
Which was, you know, again, there was a lot of throwaway stuff on there. Same thing with Life After Death from Biggie Smalls. Same thing. It did not need to be a double album. A lot of that shit was throwaway stuff.
Tupac had like 4 double albums.
Yeah. Although, you know, 3 out of 4 were posthumous. You know what I mean? Fucking Only All Eyes on Me came out when he was still fucking alive. And after when he died, everybody could just throw any compilation of shit together, you know?
Yeah. But when Wu-Tang came out with Wu-Tang Forever, I liked it. But out of those 2 CDs, you could take songs off of both CDs and make 1 solid album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can tell their heart was not in it at all, because you can tell like they're like, all right, cool. RZA completely changed his style.
Right.
And Method Man would rhyme here, then fucking Capadonna would rhyme. And you can tell it was like almost a copy and paste album. The songs that were hot, you can tell where they were all together, but the mediocre shit was mostly copy and paste, and they suffered from that on the next album, The W, which was,
yeah, that was totally.
And, then what came after that? Iron Flag. Iron Flag was, they did pretty much after 36 Chambers, shit started going downhill. The only thing that kept keeps the Wu-Tang alive were the solos, like Cuban Links,
right.
Iron Man, Tikal, right. Return 36 Chambers, the solo, and what do you call this? Liquid Swords.
Liquid Swords, yeah.
Yeah. My favorite out of all of them is Ghostface Iron Man. I love that fucking album.
I'll tell you what, I saw Ghostface live years ago, and he was ass. He was fucking...
Really?
Yeah, he just didn't have it. Some of these cats just don't do it well live, you know? I mean, some of them burn up the... You know, I'll tell you who some of the best rappers are live. Corrupt, one of the best rappers live, rappers live ever,
right.
Yeah. That motherfucker does not miss one word. Because you know some of these motherfuckers, they pause, they let the audience rap most of the song. This motherfucker gets in every fucking word. So does Talib Kweli, and so does Mos Def. Motherfucker is tight live, big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen Talib Kweli live, like one of the...
Unfortunately, Talib Kweli, if you look at his posts on Twitter and shit, he's turned into some kind of mangina feminist. It's like, oh, dude.
Yeah,
really?
He turned into a real quick.
He turned into a simp. Yeah, he turned into a simp. The fuck?
Mos Def is like in exile in another country. I don't know what the fuck happened.
He's trying to get away from all the whack shit we have here, I guess.
No. I think he had some immigration problem. Or he was like evading. Something happened in the United States that he left.
Oh, damn. You know what's funny? I watched a old Boondocks episode last night with when he was playing Gangstalicious. You know, when he went fucking... He was up in the hospital, and then the motherfuckers kidnapped him and took him out to the woods and started making out with him. And again, a Boondocks way ahead of its time right there, boy.
Yeah. Like Chappelle Show. Kweli, Common, and fucking Mos Def.
Yeah.
Or like always on Chappelle Show.
Yeah, and Chappelle made a statement by not renewing because they wanted to do all kinds of gay stuff, like, you know, dressed up in women's clothes, and like, you know how every fucking entertainer dressed up in women's clothes, and like, that's part of the deal. And Chappelle said, fuck you, I ain't doing that. You can fuck your money, fuck your $50 million, I'm out of here, I'm done, you know?
You know who's going to go down fast? Kevin Hart.
I hope so. God damn, enough already. He is so fucking unfunny, and he does the same movie every fucking year.
He
plays that same Chris Tucker ripoff character that he does. He's enough already. Jesus Christ, how overexposed can one motherfucker get except for Kim Kardashian? I mean, seriously.
Oh, dude, it's stupid. It's not even retarded. It's just stupid. It's the same shit over and over and over.
Right.
Just like kind of Eddie Murphy did back in the day when he played I enjoyed 2 Eddie Murphy movies. Coming to America and what's that movie he did?
Trading Places. That's my favorite Eddie Murphy movie.
That's the one he did with
Dan Aykroyd.
Richard Pryor was in the movie Red Fox.
Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights was just fucking, yeah. It was like awesome, man. You got all those black comedians. It was just funky, man. I love that movie.
I know. All the funniest ones are dead, man. Fucking Bernie Mac and what's that cat with Bebe Kids? Robin Harris. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're all fucking dead.
Robin, Bebe's Kids. That was one of my favorites. Pee-wee, put the control down.
Right.
But yo, going back to the Dave Chappelle thing with Common, man. Common, when you make, I have his first album in front of him. Can I Borrow a Dollar or something like
right.
that?
Right, and that's what he was. And that's what he was still known as, Common Sense. But at the time,
that's
there was some.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was some rock group called Common Sense, and he lost the name. It's like, well, who the fuck is this other Common Sense? Nobody knows who they are, you know. But of course, the brother got to lose his fucking name. So now he's called Common, which doesn't even make sense, you know. He's like, well, he's not Common because he's not trying to be Common. Common Sense made a lot more sense, but.
I had both his albums, first two albums.
And then he was fucking around with Erykah Badu, and she's like a succubus, you know. And then, you know,
man, anything Erykah Badu, okay, she's talented, she's a singer,
right?
But look what happened to Common,
and look what happened to Andre 3000.
Right,
exactly.
But I know the same thing happened to something like Q-Tip from Trap Called Quest. He was on some weird shit.
I always heard he was gay, but I don't know. But I mean, he didn't. At least he didn't put it in his act if he was, you know.
Right.
Which is fine.
What do you think about the Tribe Called Quest? What are your views on it?
I like Tribe Called Quest. I actually listen to the Low End Theory quite a bit. I do
Low
love
theory
that album.
Is a good, I have Midnight Marauders.
And Midnight Marauders. Yeah, that's I do like those two albums a lot. I don't like them as much as Gangstar. Gangstar is always going to be my top East Coast act.
You and me, we brothers on that point.
Right.
With Gangstar, forget. We could have a separate podcast about Gangstar. We could talk about this.
Totally.
The whole fucking thing, dude. What's your favorite Gangstar song?
My favorite Gangstar song?
All right, give me three. You got to pick three out of all the albums. Or like six of the albums. You got to pick three.
Okay. I'm thinking of beats-wise. Conspiracy. I love the beat on that fucking song. I bump that all the fucking time. Conspiracy. It's on the Daily Operation album. Take It Personal.
That's awesome.
Take It Personal. One of my all-time
favorites.
Take It
Personal is dope.
Let me think about it. I think Words I Manifest Remix.
All right. Yeah, that's a good selection there.
I mean, there's so, you know, there's so fucking many. It's really hard to nail it down.
Yeah.
I could go with Above the Clouds. I could go with Work. I could go with Robin Hood Theory. I mean, there's so many things on that Moment of Truth album. That whole album really is fucking dope, so it's...
Yeah, that whole album is flavorful. Like, what do you call it? The joint you and I did when we did the WAP. Mostly The Voice.
Yeah, that was... Mostly The Voice. Mostly The Voice, yeah.
Mostly The Voice. Yep. And I was so hyped when I caught the instrumental. When I saw the instrumental, I didn't know they had an instrumental to that song.
They don't. I had to loop parts of it and piece it together.
Okay.
There was no instrumental of that.
I appreciate the shit out of that.
Yeah,
that
no
was
doubt.
Dope.
No doubt.
I like mostly The Voice, The Illest Brother. That beat, I love that beat.
I don't know, the beat of that one, I don't know. I like the chorus beat, but I don't like the rapid beat.
Yes, the chorus beat, exactly.
Yeah.
That chorus beat.
I don't like the rapid beat on there. I think they should have switched those, you know what I mean? They should have rapped over the chorus beat, I think.
The chorus beat was dope. I also like Stay Tuned.
Stay Tuned. You know what? I had Stay Tuned as a ringtone, and actually right now I have Too Deep as a ringtone. That's my current ringtone.
Too Deep is all, but...
Yeah. Too Deep and Much Too Complicated. Yes.
I would say mostly The Voice, The Meaning of the Name, which is the last song.
Yes. Yeah, huh? I know.
On Step in the Arena.
Right.
And the third one would probably be not even Mass Appeal. I would have to go with I'm the Man.
I mean, Lil Dap was whack, but the fucking the beats were fucking.
Yeah, little,
as a matter of fact, that whole Group Home album was much better than they deserved.
Them.
Yeah,
the beats save them. Honestly, I didn't enjoy Jeru the Damage's Wrath of Man.
I thought it was good. It wasn't as good as Sunrise in the East, but the one where the World Trade Center was burning. Another fucking omen.
Yeah, I know how crazy that shit, right? That shit was predicted.
Although I know why they did, because there was a bomb in the World Trade Center that year, 1993.
But it didn't
bring down the buildings, you know. But everybody looks at it, it's like, God damn, he was telling a prophecy right there. Fucking Them shits was on fire.
Like, I wish, like, the beat from Rat the Map and, what do you call it, the group on Living Proof, the Group Homes album, Living Proof.
Yeah.
I wish they switched. And that was, and that would have been like a really funky album, but
right.
Off the Wrath of the Mask, I like maybe like three or four joints. On there
were, yeah, there was four good ones. There was some throwaway stuff on there. Yeah,
yeah.
Towards the end of the album, it got kind of lazy. I thought, like they kind of. Yeah. I think that was kind of when Premier and J. Rue kind of had a falling out. It's like, yeah, I think in the right. middle of that album, they said, "Well, fuck you. I'm not going to give you my best shit. You're acting like an ass."
Just like I know you had a falling out with KRS-One.
Yeah.
Like KRS-One, Return of the Boom Bap, I enjoyed the shit out of that album.
MCs act like they don't know. That was a fucking great song.
Yeah, because that was a lot of premieres working. Pretty right. much back in the early to mid 90s, anything that Premier touched was gold.
Right. That brings me to my next question. What year do you think was the best year in hip hop?
Wow. I think like shit. Oh man, this is fucking. I would say, like, if I had 1 year, I would say, like, 93.
Uh-huh.
But then you got, like, 95. Because 93, you had the Wu-Tang.
Right.
You had, like, the West Coast Renaissance. You had Nas, Illmatic. You had Gang. I think 93, like, flowing into 94.
Okay.
Around there, between that time. Because you also had Dr. Dre.
Right.
You had Snoop Dogg. You know what I'm saying? You had Ice Cube.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You had Outkast back in the day, too. People forget about fucking Outkast.
Yeah, I think Outkast, yeah. I think their album dropped in 94, if I'm not mistaken, their first album.
Yeah, yeah. The Southern Playlist of Cadillac.
Yes,
music.
I do like that album.
I have, too.
Yeah. That's very good.
People forget about the Ghetto Boys, Scarface.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I am a huge, huge fan of Ghetto Boys. They're my top five, Scarface in particular. But, yeah, Scarface,
Willie,
I love.
What's
all
his name? Willie D?
Willie D, and then Bushwick Bill. Yeah, that was.
Bushwick Bill, yes. Right.
The little midget. The little,
Halloween the, on the weekend.
The little midget with the one eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. 1992 is my best year. The Chronic came out, and that just changed the fucking world. That made everybody notice the West Coast finally. A lot of my favorite albums came out in 92. That album, Compton's Most Wanted, Music to Drive By. Love that fucking album.
I was listening to that the other day, man.
Yeah, that is underrated as fuck. DJ Quick, Way Too Funky, very good. Spice One, funky. Very good. Too Short was
I
bumping.
Like
I mean,
Spice One.
Yeah.
Dude, I enjoy some Spice One. Spice One is like, I enjoy more like the underground West Coast.
Right.
Rappers.
All the Oakland stuff, which didn't get as much play because not a lot of people, when people, you know, think of California, think of Compton, you know, because all the rappers from Compton, and then Long Beach because Snoop is from there. But everybody forgot about Oakland, where there's so much shit came out of there. Fucking Too Short, Drew Down, the Loonies, all that stuff,
man.
Yeah, Souls of Mischief.
Souls of Mischief.
Yes.
They were like the West Coast fucking
oh.
De La
oh,
Soul.
Oh, shit. Speaking of 1992... Bizarre Ride to the Far Side. How can I forget that one? Come on.
Oh, the
man.
Far Side, yes. Dude. Oh, man. You know what I enjoy about the Far Side and, like, Souls of Mischief?
Uh-huh.
They were just dudes just rhyming.
Right.
Having fun.
They weren't up and they weren't all about any bullshit. They weren't about any image or anything. They just got in there and had some fucking fun, and that's what it was
it
all
just
about.
Had fun, man. Just like him and I love Dub fucking Homo Sapien.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
He made that song of the Thank Yous. Mr. Babalina.
Oh, Mr. Babalina. That's my joint
Mr.
right there.
Mr. Bob.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mr.
yeah.
Mr. Babalina, Mr. Bob Babalina, Mr. Bob Babalina, would you quit? You really need to.
That, get off my couch. I love that fucking
get
song.
Off my couch is dope. I know what you're talking about.
Get your butt off my couch. Get your butt out. I love that.
I know Ice Cube did the intro for him.
Dell was Ice Cube's cousin, yes.
Nice. Okay, yep. that's dope. But
that's what, as a matter of fact, Dell's producers, the Boogeyman, did a lot of the Death Certificate album, about half of it. And then whatever they did do, Sir Jinx did the rest of it. Speaking of Sir Jinx, another album I love, Cool G Rap and DJ Polo.
Is it 456?
No, not 456 was 95. That was the one that came after that.
Is that the one where I got a brother on the run?
Yes.
That's Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die. Is. God damn it. That's what it's called. Yes. Fucking dope.
With the fucking dogs. Yes. I know. With the fucking dogs and the album cover.
Yep. Yes.
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die. Fucking great. Underrated as shit.
That's
man.
Coogee Rap.
What was that song? What was that song where he's talking about fucking the baby? Oh, Cockblock. Operation Cockblock. Love
oh,
that Cockblock. Fucking song.
Operation
yeah.
CB.
Yes.
Operation CB is the name of the song. When he's talking about his roommate?
Yeah. No, he was talking about well, there's a couple of verses. He was over at Jinx's house. He was trying to bang some broad, and Jinx kept knocking on the door asking for shit.
Yeah,
like, motherfuckers like
door,
Jinx
yeah.
is cock blocking. Yeah. Yep.
Operation CB, Operation Cock Block, yes.
Right.
As my homeboy at Jeep would say, yes.
1992, Ice Cube, The Predator. Not as good as Death Certificate, but still a solid album. 92, yeah, 92 is my year. I mean, 95 is probably my second favorite, but fucking...
95 is probably my second favorite, too. A lot of shit came out in 95.
But then that's kind of where it started to die. You know, it's like it started getting...
Yeah, like around 96-ish?
Yeah.
Like 95,
right when
96?
Pac died. I'm not trying to say Pac is like the fucking second coming of Jesus' rep, but weird shit was happening after him and Biggie died. Like, these motherfuckers just lost direction after that.
Yeah, just like when Bad Boy, when Puffy got a hold of, like, hip-hop. Like,
I fucking hate Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy's ruined everything.
It went down, because...
You know, I might be a conspiracy theory, but I think Puff Daddy had a major part to do with Biggie's death, much like Suge had a big part to do with Tupac's death, if not both of them, you know?
Yeah, man, we could go on a whole show.
Yeah. That doesn't make any... That whole story doesn't make sense. How the fuck is Suge Knight... How is Pac riding with Suge Knight, and Suge Knight knows when to duck the bullets, and Pac gets fucking hit? How does that happen?
Nah,
come
you,
on, that's bullshit.
You know what's crazy? You know who was there that night?
Huh.
Method Man from the Wu-Tang.
Method Man. Well, he's probably there watching a fight,
Man,
you know, I would guess. You know.
Method Man was there from the Wu-Tang, and Tupac asked him to come in the car with him. He was like, yo...
Probably, you know what, maybe because Method Man was on the Dog Food album from the Dog Pound. He was on that that one song.
Method Man was out there that night, and he mentioned this on an interview he did here in New York, and for some reason, Suge Knight grabbed Tupac. It was like, yo, get out of here, and Tupac gave Method Man that look. You know that last picture of Tupac when he was alive in the car, and he has that, like, shook face?
Yeah.
Like, you know, some shit was gonna go down. He gave that same look to Method Man.
Oh shit!
And you could hear, this. You know what? I'm gonna link this. I'll link it to you later on. So you can listen to that to that interview.
You know the Illuminati is around. I know the Illuminati is around. I know they control a lot of this shit. Of course, they also control this election that's going on. But I don't even want to get into that fucking load of crap.
Nah, tonight was bullshit. That was garbage.
What's
worse, the election or the Giants' offensive line? Oh my God, that was such horseshit. Eli Manning snaps the ball, and he had like three people on him already.
Yeah, we have the Rams, and they lost to Buffalo, so we have nothing to cheer for here either. Jeff Fisher, for whatever reason, decided to kick a field goal when they were on the they were fourth down on the 10-yard line, and with 5 minutes left, he kicked a field goal, which still left them at 4 points behind. It was like, you still need a touchdown to get ahead, you fucking moron. And of course, Buffalo marches down the field, gets a touchdown, and then puts the game out of reach.
How the fucking, what do you call these schmucks? The San Diego Chargers find amazing ways to lose games.
Because they have no quarterback. Phillip Rivers is a choker, and he's always been a choker. You know,
Phillip Rivers should have
left. Horrible. It was horrible.
Ago, man.
Yeah, but they signed him to a multi-year deal. You know, the management over there is fucking retarded.
He should have left so long ago.
They're not going to make any major changes until they get a new stadium. That's what they're waiting for. As long as they're playing that piece of shit they play in right now, nothing's going to change. They're going to wait for the big billion-dollar stadium. Qualcomm, yeah, it's a piece of crap.
Qualcomm.
I mean, not that the LA Coliseum has been a piece of crap since the 30s, for fuck's sake. And that's where the Rams used to play in the first time when they're LA until the Raiders moved into it, and then the Rams moved to Anaheim where the Angels play. And then they moved to St. Louis. Now they're back. It's like we're just going in a circle, just going around and around and around again.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Have you ever heard of a guy named Mike Geronimo?
Yes.
Mike Geronimo was, I like Mike Geronimo. He had like a, he was a street guy, but he was laid back, but he could actually rhyme his ass off. He was dope. Like, I was listening to, I revisited that album yesterday. I was out here in Long Island City. And his first album was really fucking good. Like, really solid. Okay, but he came out during the Lost Boys. The Wu-Tang Soldier members came out with their fucking solo. So he got overshadowed. Then he came out with his second album. And his second album was, there was a lot of Puff Daddy production.
Oh,
and you can tell the Puff Daddy production.
Oh, yeah.
Like the type of beats.
He loops 8 bars of shit and he puts some little simple percussion
right.
on it. That's
it's
what
it's a lot of R&B bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that juicy song from Biggie. It was like, when they were making that, Biggie was like, what is this gay fucking shit? You know?
You know what? Everybody likes that. I never liked that song.
I don't either. I don't. And it's, you know, especially since it's got that and Hypnotize, you know, especially because it got so much radio play. I don't want to listen to those.
You know? I never dug Hypnotize too, but I never you would never hear me bump that song. I know the lyrics. I'm hearing it
same here.
1,000 times, but I would never bump that song. Honestly, I think Ready to Die was a good album, but there was a lot of throwaways on that album.
Yeah, now I love the DJ Premier one. I love Unbelievable. You know, the one Premier track on there was good. Yes,
and there's been rappers.
Machine Gun Funk. I like that one too. You know, Easy Mo B had some good stuff on there too.
Like, Biggie wasn't happy with a lot of production on the fucking Ready to Die shit.
Right.
But, you know, the fucking, anything he did with Premier was gold.
Yeah, Life After Death, you know, the two Premier songs on there. But that album had a lot of throwaway crap on there, too. Yeah,
Life After Death.
Way too much.
That just could have been condensed into one album.
That's why I think Puffy had him killed, because he capitalized off of Biggie's death. He came out with that death song, that fucking, you know, police song they ripped off a week after he fucking died. And then that Life After Death was like a double album. And of course, everybody rushed out to get it because they're trying to pay their respects to B.I.G. But that album, there's so much garbage on that album that needed to, you know, the Lil' Kim songs, shit.
There was a lot of R&B shit.
Yeah.
I did not fucking...
The R. Kelly one, I mean, why was that on there? That just annoyed me. I hated that song.
Speaking of R. Kelly...
Yes.
I don't know, this is going to segue into Nas.
Uh-huh.
Nas' second album, It Was Written.
It Was Written. I'll tell you what, I like that one better than Illmatic. Just a little
really?
Bit. Yes, I do. Just a little bit. I thought Illmatic was very, very overrated. Very overrated. I don't think it was.
This is one. Let me see. The song "One Time for Your Mind" on Illmatic. I didn't. Like.
Yeah,
everything was tolerable.
There
my
was
favorite joint on that album. Is
New York State of Mind was my favorite joint because that's one of my favorite premiere. That's
State,
one of my favorite
premiere
beats of all time. You know what? The Sitting in the Park one, there's an alternate version of that one. I think he even sent that to me too. I like that better than the one. I like that one better than the one that was on the album. I think they should have used that one instead, you know.
Just like One Love, have you heard it's called LG Main Remix.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Of One Love.
Yeah.
And the hook is a little R&B-ish. But it's gangster though.
I don't really care for the album version. That Q-Tip, I think, did that beat. Don't really care for
Q-Tip
it.
Q-Tip did that.
Yeah, Large Professor did 3 beats on that album, and DJ Premier did 3.
Oh, of course, The World Is Yours.
Oh, I love that. You know what? That's my favorite song. That and New York State of Mind are my 2 favorite songs on that album. Easily.
You care. Back in the day, you could not go wrong with a Pete Rock.
No, you couldn't. That's what I'm saying. You could tell, you know, who did the beats. It's like, oh shit, is that a Pete Rock? Is that a Premier beat? Oh fuck yeah, it is. But nowadays, I don't know who's doing what. I have no idea.
Everybody sounds the same.
Yep.
Everybody sounds the same.
Yep.
And it sucks because there's no originality anymore.
None.
It's like you're biting.
I have a love-hate relationship with Nas. You know, he was dope back in the day, but personally, I think he's an absolute fucking dick, and I'll tell you why. I've told this story before. I don't know if you've heard this. I did a shoot with him years ago. This kid, it was for Red Bull, and this kid won this contest. It was a beat maker contest, and whoever had the best beats would have Nas come out to L.A. and record a track using your beat in L.A. And Red Bull has a studio in Santa Monica. So we shot for 2 days for this thing. The first day we just shot this kid. This kid's from Chicago. He came out. We shot him. We rolled around L.A. various landmarks and shot him doing stuff like that. But the second day was all in the studio. And Nas was supposed to come in at 12 o'clock noon to record this track with his kid. So we were in there at 6 o'clock in the morning setting up, getting everything ready, putting up the lights and the cameras and all this shit. And 12 o'clock, 1, 2, 3, don't hear nothing from him or his people or nothing. Finally, like 4 o'clock, the phone rings. The producer, they're telling, hey, man, Nas, they don't say why or anything. They say, Nas going to be there at 6 o'clock p.m. So we've already been there since 6 the fuck a.m., and this motherfucker, all he has to do is come in and record a fucking one goddamn song with his kid, who they chose as the winner. And this kid also has been here just as long as we have. So 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, still no word. Finally at like 9:30 or something, they call back. All right, he gonna come in at 11 o'clock p.m. This motherfucker was supposed to be there at noon. And this motherfucker is gonna, don't have the balls to just say you're not coming in. Just say you're not fucking coming in. And we would have packed up and gone home. He comes in at 1:30 in the fucking morning. 1:30 in the morning. Just out of the blue. Drunk as fuck. He don't say sorry. He don't say shit to anybody. He just rolls right to the booth, puts a fucking headphones on, says, hey, yo, play the track. They play the track and he starts rapping. He don't say shit to nobody. It's like, you unprofessional piece of fucking shit. Fuck you, Nas. You had two good albums and everything you ever did after that sucks. Except for the stuff that DJ Premier did for you. You know what I mean? Other than that, fuck yourself.
Nas suffers from, in my opinion, of course, Nas suffers from horrible selection of beats.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he chooses the beats or his production team, but
yeah.
Is Matt, I don't know.
He has a lot of garbage. I mean, at least with Illmatic, you can actually hear the whole album. Everything after it was written, you just skip tracks. You're just, where's the DJ Premier one? You know what? Like, give me something good.
Like, it was written. I mean, Illmatic was good because I think, like, the record company, I don't know who was in charge, his manager, knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
And, all right, cool. Let's get these young producers who are the beat makers, like these DJs who are making amazing music, and let's put them together to make a fucking album. And they all sounded, all the beats sounded different, which makes an awesome album.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I...
even DJ Premier, even the Gangsta album, all the beats, they weren't similar.
Right.
They were all different, like...
Except on the Owners, he tended to use the same snare drum sound for about four or five different songs. I could pick that up because the snare drum from that Mary Jane Girl song, used that a lot.
The Owners, you can tell the Owners was rushed.
It sounded like Wrath of the Math because the last part of Wrath of the Math sounded kind of rushed. It's like, this is all the throwaway shit. The first five songs are pretty good, and the rest of it was like, really? Y'all put your best effort into this? I don't know about that.
What did you think about Mobb Deep?
I was never a big Mobb Deep fan. You know what I mean? I don't bump their shit that much, aside from a few songs. I don't know. I just never got into them. Because I was like more into West Coast shit back then, so it took a while for the East Coast stuff to grow back onto me. Like Gangstar, I've always been a fan of.
What about M.O.P.?
No. I think when M.O.P. was one of those throwaway artists that DJ Premier wasted a lot of beats on, just like Big Shug. You know what I mean?
Oh, you wasted mad beats on Big Shug.
Yeah. Not a big fan of M.O.P. Anybody that screams into the mic all the time, no, not a fan of.
You know what? They had on what's the name of the second album? Firing Squad. Yeah. Premier produced like half of that album.
Right.
And those beats were amazing. Right. I'm like, why are you giving this? I mean, honestly, they sounded okay. They sounded good. But those beats could have been used like on... It could have been given to Jerry the Damager.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, he probably has like a stockpile of beats, and then when he's got like independent cats that come in, he's got to like pick and choose. It's like, all right, I'm going to give this beat to this motherfucker, this beat to this motherfucker.
Imagine all the Wu-Tang, the Gangsta songs that DJ Premier has. in his library, locked away.
Oh, fuck. I know. I mean, there's probably hundreds of fucking songs that you never even heard of, which is a goddamn shame. Man. With all the posthumous Tupac stuff they put out, why don't they do some posthumous Guru shit? Come on, man.
You know what? I've always wondered, what would Ice Cube sound over DJ Premier beat? Because he's built for that.
It would have sounded good. It would have sounded dope about 15 years ago. Now, probably not so much. Because, you know, Ice Cube, he's almost 50. He's in family mode. He's on Disney movies and shit like that. I just can't look at him the same as I did back in the gangster days, back in the NWA days and Death Certificate of the Predator. But if he was on a premiere beat in the 90s or so, fuck yeah.
I'd forget about it.
Fucking MC8 from Compton's Most Wanted rapped over a premiere beat. Premier did a beat for Death Wish 2, did a remix of it, and MC8 raps over that. That's pretty fucking tight.
That was fucking great.
As a matter of fact, I remember on Hard to Earn, remember that little skit in the middle of the album where a bunch of motherfuckers call in to DJ Premier's voicemail? MC8 was one of them, yo, motherfucker.
Like, yeah. I miss you in the studio.
Right, making them fat beats and shit,
Right. That was a fucking MC8 was great.
Yeah, and MC8 would always shout out. He would always do those gangster shout out tracks on the end of those records. He would always shout out Gangstar. So that was dope.
Gangstar, man. This is why I love Gangstar, because they were cool with everybody.
Right.
And Guru, both of them are very highly respected. Imagine Pac on a fucking Tupac, Pac on the premiere beat.
Fuck, it'd be dope, man.
All right, let me ask you this: who's your top Give me your top, three to five producers in hip hop.
Five producers, okay. DJ Premier.
I know you're putting DJ Quick up in there.
DJ Quick is up there, no doubt. Dr. Dre is also up there. It's so mix and match after that. Premier.
What about Pete Rock?
Pete Rock? God damn it. I don't know if he's in my top fucking five or not. Pete Rock is dope, but I don't know if I'd put him in my top fucking five. I know there's four and five. There's a tie between about 50 fucking people. It's I'd put Buck Wild in there. I'd put Pete Rock in there. I'd put DJ Battle Cat in there. Shit. After those top three, I don't know if I could fill in four and five. I don't think I could do it.
I think mine would be a good premiere. I'd put Pete Rock. Then I'll put maybe Buck Wild.
Yeah.
And possibly a good Law Finesse. I like Law Finesse. And the first part, I'll definitely put Dre. But it's not in that order, but it's up there. All right, look, hold on. I didn't mention this guy, Cam.
Oh, Cam? Cam.
Yeah,
The cat that used to rap with Ice Cube before they had a falling out.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, that cat was dope.
His albums are fucking legendary. I love
Peace Treaty. Sure.
Peace Treaty, Pull Your Whole Card.
Yep.
And Keep the Peace. Fucking Judy 3 hooked him up with mad beats.
Judy 3 did a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah, he did. He did a lot of fucking laid-back shit, man.
Judy 3 and also Butta. Butta, he did a lot of the West Side Connection stuff. Did almost that entire Dr. Dre, Welcome to the Aftermath album, which wasn't that successful, but he did a lot of the beats on that. Put Your Eyes Where My Hands Could See.
Busta Rhymes
did that fucking beat. Yeah, that cat's done a lot of good shit. But nowadays, I couldn't name five of these motherfuckers that are making these beats. I have no idea, none.
Because they all sound the same.
Just how they want it. Just how the industry wants it. They want everybody to sound as dumb.
They all sound exactly the same. There's no originality. It's like the younger cats, maybe 21-ish, bumping this bullshit, but then you have people in their mid-20s, 23 and up. They're looking for something else to listen to, and they're going back in time,
yeah,
listening to the old cats. What's your opinion on DMX? Cracked out DMX.
DMX, I like DMX as a rapper. I did not like Swiss Beats as a producer. You know what I mean? I wish DMX.
Yeah,
I wish DMX had some better production on his stuff. That's otherwise he really would have blown up, I think, if he had some better production. Cause I hated that party anthem shit that fucking Swiss Beats.
Oh, does. I hate that song.
Yeah.
That album I did not like.
Yeah.
Party Anthem is one of the fucking party up, there you go, party up one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
I'll tell you who I'll put on my producer, N.O. Joe, who did a lot of the early Ghetto Boys and Scarface stuff from back in the day. All those early South sound. It sounded like G-Funk without being G-Funk, and it was fucking tight as shit. I've actually used a couple on several Be Funny tracks.
All right, let me ask you this. Yeah. You got to pick one, and death is not an option. Who would you pick? Mm-hmm. No Limit record or Cash Money?
No Limit. Not even a, because at least Snoop Dogg was on No Limit for a couple albums. I could at least
listen to, he was.
I listened to those because No Limit Top Dog was actually a pretty dope record. Mainly because Dr. Dre had a few tracks
on it. I like that.
Yeah, Dre had some good stuff on it. You know, Dre gave him a couple of good beats on there. And overall, the album was actually pretty decent. So Cash Money, absolutely fucking not.
Fucking Cash. You know what's funny? Juvenile, that album that he had on Back That Ass Up.
Yeah.
I have that album. It was given to me.
It's all right. I mean, all that stuff was all right. I mean, it's not as bad as now. You know, if you compare Lil Wayne from back then to Lil Wayne now, Jesus.
Juvenile had a song called 400 Degrees, the title of the album.
Yeah.
And it was actually pretty fucking dope, man. The beat was dope.
Yeah.
400 Degrees.
That's the thing. A lot of those beats were dope, but they had the wackest MCs on those songs. You know what I mean? It's like they ruined the fucking beats. That's what happened to the Group Home album, man. Those two cats were fucking weak as fuck.
Yeah, they weren't good. Especially, you know what?
It's like, you're right. Jay Rue should have been rapping on those beats instead. You're right about that.
Dude, imagine, what would Jay Rue Diamond have done on fucking Living Proof, the song Living Proof?
Or had anybody else do it. Have fucking Rakim do those. Anybody. Jesus.
Oh, man. Like, Rakim's another one who suffers from lack of, like, I don't know what... He made an album. He made two albums during the 90s, and he didn't surface till like 2014 until he dropped the R, which is whack. Right. I didn't like that shit at all.
Right.
Just due to the fact that he had shitty producers.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. Well, what's your opinion on Bone Thugs and Harmony?
I like Creeping on a Come Up, and I like the
Creeping on a Come Up.
You know, the next album, East 99 Eternal. I still bump that album all the time. But and then after that, it's like they all broke up. They got back together. They say, like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I actually saw them live recently when I went to that show in Oakland.
Yeah, earlier in the year.
They were dope live. Everybody there was good live. Everybody that showed up at that show, even E40 that I'm not even a big fan of. He tore shit up live. He was way better than I expected him to be. So that whole show was fucking dope. DJ Quick tore shit up. Everybody tore shit up. It was great.
I was listening to an interview by Crazy Bone when he did his solo album, Thug Mentality, 1999.
Right.
He was they went to Crazy Bone and they was like, yo, we're going to give you a solo deal. He was like, fuck it. Because the group didn't do anything. The last album was like 1996, 97 when they dropped Art of War. So now it's 1999, 2000-ish. So he went into the studio. He did a double album.
I hate double albums. Because they're always, half of it's always garbage, at least half of it.
Yeah, pretty much. But his album, it wasn't that bad. I'm a Bone Thugs fan. It wasn't, his album, double album was, it wasn't bad. There were a lot of very pointless skits. Garbage, but out of 100, I'll give him maybe 65% on the double album. I'll give him that. And he was on tour. He was making money. He was selling out shows by himself, not even with Bone Thugs. So then Bone Thugs dropped Bone Thugs and Harmony Resurrection.
Yeah.
2001. And Crazy Bone isn't on, he's on half that album. And the reason he's on half that album was because he was on tour promoting Thug Mentality.
Oh, shit.
And he didn't know that they were recording an album. So he cut his tour short to go record that album, which was half-assed, to be honest with you.
Right.
And that's the reason why that album was mediocre at best. I mean, like, pretty much the songs he was on is dope, like four or five. I love Crazy.
Again, whenever you have a whole group, there's always egos that clash. You know, just like Wu-Tang,
right.
You know, there's always a falling out. Somebody winds up in jail. Somebody dies.
Oh God!
It's hard. It's really hard to keep a group together like that.
This is why I like just a DJ and an MC.
Right. That's how it should be. It's never gonna get back to that, unfortunately. But that's how it should be.
Gangstar, fucking. what do you call this? P-Rock and Feel Smooth is one of my favorite groups.
Mecca and the Soul.
Something about P-Rock's production style.
Yeah.
What he does with the jazz samples.
Yeah. And what I like too is he always intros each song with like another sample. You know, like he throws a little 10-second bonus beat at the end and the beginning of each song. So it gives you a little something extra. That's what I like about his shit.
Just like he did on They Reminisce Over You. You put that sample in the front. Tom Scott.
Yep.
That Tom Scott sample. And damn, man. P-Rock is one of those guys who he uses hot beats for like skit.
Yeah, he always puts this all into it because he uses so many layers of samples and he uses a lot of stereo separation and everything. He really puts a lot of work into his shit. So that's why I respect about that. Like, because cats like DJ Shadow and stuff do that kind of production where they just take a whole shitload of samples, throw them together, and just pan them every fucking where, and you don't know what the fuck the original song is, you know? So that's the best thing about it.
Yeah, the Bomb Squad used to do that.
Yeah, the fucking Bomb Squad was way ahead of their time. Holy fuck, man. Channel Zero, they sampled a Slayer song. Nobody was doing that kind of shit.
Nobody, a rock song. They fucking chopped it up.
Not only a rock song, but a fucking satanic heavy metal song, something that hip-hop wouldn't dare touch nowadays, you know?
There's more originality in hip-hop.
And they made it sound dope as shit, you know? And I'm sure Rick Rubin, who produced that original song, had no problem letting Public Enemy use it.
The problem is right now, I think that I see is like they're either too lazy to fucking go dig for records or probably the main reason, the fucking, like, the artist asking for too much money.
That's what it is, too. All the legal problems, all the royalties that they're often asked to cough up. I know when you sample Parliament and groups like that, I remember I had there was a cassette tape that I had from the 90s, and actually Premiere sampled off a few things off of there. There was a little placard inside that said, even back then, it said, if you want a sample, here's what you got to do. And it had like a laundry list of fucking procedures you had to follow to sample any beat off of this fucking album. Like, God damn. So that's why DJ Premier like went to the style that he, like back then he just sampled like a bar or two of some things. But now he's got to chop shit up and make it so you don't really recognize what the original song is. And that's how you have to do it without, you know, so you don't have to cough up those royalty fees.
The fucking Bomb Squad used to sample 13 records at the same time.
Right. And there'd be a whole shitload of James Brown records just stacked up on top of each other. And you couldn't tell which one it was.
If you're a hip-hop head back in the day, you automatically paying for James Brown.
There's another record that comes to mind. A lot of people slept on this one. The second Beastie Boys album, Paul's Boutique. It wasn't commercially successful, but the production on it was done by the Dust Brothers, who did a lot of stuff like Beck and shit like that. But they used tons of layered samples, and for a 1989 album, it was way ahead of its time, man.
I was never a big fan of the Beastie Boys, kind
of. I'll tell you what I like them for, because later on, especially with the albums after, like Check Your Head and after that, they started playing their own shit. Like they would do interlude songs where they play their own and play these really funked out tunes. And then with the hip hop songs they do, it would sound very old schoolish with samples and scratching and shit. So I got into the Beastie Boys sounded better later, I thought, at least up until Intergalactic Planetary, and after that they started to suck. and then MCA died, so there you go.
What are your thoughts on Eric Sermon?
I do like EPMD. I thought the production was very simple. I thought his stuff was, he uses a lot of breaks that you hear on a lot of other records, but it works.
He did
a lot of Redman's earlier good records, so yeah. He's got my props for that. Not one of my favorite producers of all time, but he definitely left a stamp there. You know, he's definitely an old school cat to be respected, no doubt about it.
One thing about Eric Sermon, you already know what's an Eric Sermon beat, man. Yeah. He has that bass line.
Yeah, and usually you hear a lot, and I even brought this up on my samples episode, he used a lot of the same break beats in several different records. He used the same fucking drum. He just put some other drums over it, so it wouldn't sound exactly the same. One more question I've got. What was the first song you did when you started rapping for Tom Leica Show on WAP, the New Normal MC? What was the first song and when did you do it?
Remember? Oh, all right, cool. The first song was a Mike Geronimo instrumental. I think it was produced by Buck Wild,
uh-huh.
And it was called The Natural. And the reason I started rapping for the Tom Likas show was with, this is when Be Funny first started.
Right.
On his new show. And this is when Art Webb was around.
Okay, I was going to ask, was it before or after Timson? So it was before Timson.
No, it was way before Timson.
Okay, I thought so.
Let me see if I can bring the song up now. Hold on, let me see if I can hear this.
Timson's first broadcast was July 1st, 2013. I remember that.
This is the beat right here.
Oh, shit, yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one, yeah. yes.
Uh-huh. So I was like, all these beats in my rhyme was fat. All the new creation called the new normal rap. And I started from there, because I spit, because I just rapped stupid shit over the phone. I called in, and I was just, all these beats in my rhyme was fat. All the new creation called the new normal rap. And they thought everybody dug it. And Art Webb in the background was like, yo, I wish I could have that on tape so I could play it, like, you know, recorded. I went in and I just picked out a beat. I picked out Mike Geronimo, The Natural. And I just recorded it. The audio was bad. I admit it. Whatever. And I sent it to Art Webb. I opened up the Twitter just for that. Art Webb responded. He was like, Sammy. I was like, yo, I'm the guy who rapped on the Be Funny. It's like, cool. Like you said, send me the demo. Just send me something. I send it to him. Next thing you know, he fucking plays it on the opening of WAP. And that right there was the beginning of the You Know MC.
Fucking dope, man. You got to give props to Art Webb for that. As much as we make fun of him for being a pussy and leaving the show and getting married and all that stuff, you got to give him props for putting that together.
Yeah, all the time,
you know?
Man. I give him props. Then when he was leaving... When he left the show, Michael Timson, I was actually talking to him through Art Webb's email. And I didn't know. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Right, because we didn't know what to think. Yo, here comes the new guy. Nobody knows anything about him. You know, we don't know how the show's even going to sound. You know, he was having trouble with the drops and everything.
Yeah, I know.
Timson knows his fucking hip-hop, man. I got to give him props big time.
No, man. So... He told me, he's like, yeah, you know, my name is Mike, I'm going to take over. I'm like, oh, shit, that was you. He's like, all right, cool. So ever since then, me and Mikey Timson, we cool, man. I have all the new normal rap saved.
Anytime you need another collabo fucking hookup, just...
Down, man. You know me, whatever beat you want to do, I'm in it. I'm done. I'll do it. The reason I started rapping, nobody knows it. I was challenged by some fucking kid in high school. And I was like, hey, I was a hip-hop head. You know, I did a little writing, you know, graffiti every now and then. I rhyme my friend's bullshit. His motherfucker challenged me, and I was like, all right, cool, you want to battle? Let's go. We battling, motherfucker. Let's go.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, the rest is history, man. I'm here on the Big Phil podcast, man. That's it.
All right, man. I'm going to wrap this shit up. Andy B, fucking thank you so much for fucking being on this motherfucker.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on. If people want to hit me up, just fucking email me at urbandoc@gmail.com, man. Just hit me up there. That's one of my old brands that I'm bringing back. And it's popping, man. Big Phil, I appreciate you having me on the show, man. Take care. I love it.
Andy B from New York. Talking hip-hop. See, fucking hip-hop, as much as they want to talk about East Coast, West Coast, all this kind of shit, at least you can't deny that hip-hop has actually brought everybody together. And I think the reason everybody's all fucked up now is because hip-hop is fucking whack right now. Get rid of Drake. Get rid of Lil Wayne. Get rid of all them Cash Money motherfuckers. Get rid of all these booty-ass rappers that are dressed in pink and wearing women's clothes and all that shit. And bring back the classics from the 90s. And remember, kids, they were only talking about shooting each other. They weren't actually doing it. Thank you. And on that note, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. That's right, y'all. Because after all, these are the words that I manifest. Feel me? Gather around and go to BigAngryPhil.com. That's right, BigAngryPhil.com, the official website. Sitting around on Facebook and looking at people's baby pictures and cat pictures and places they went. Who gives a fuck? Well, fuck all that. Just go to the Big Angry Phil podcast page. You'll like that a hell of a lot better. Big Angry Phil podcast can be found on TuneIn, on SoundCloud, and on iTunes. Best believe. Make sure you subscribe to and keep listening to The Tom Likas Show. Get the app, BigAngryPhil.com. Special thanks to Andy B, the new normal MC from the NYC. Chopping it up at old school hip hop. I'll be back next week with something completely different, all right?